Cyberspace. What's going on here?
We are live.
We are live, but why is that picture not showing up on my share screen?
Surely no.
There we go.
There we go. Yep. There it is. Yeah, we got to have Bigfoot there, bro. Reading news. I love Bigfoot newscaster there.
Well.
Okay.
Good evening, Cyberspace. Welcome to the Bigfoot News, episode 11 for March 29th, 2024. I'm your host, your guide, Squat Detective Steve Calls, along with right down there, the co-host with the most, Mr. Chris Bennett.
Steve, good to see you, man. Technical difficulties, you know, right out of the gate. That's great. You know, it keeps you on your toes. I hope you guys have been enjoying nicer weather here. Like, we've had sunshine the last couple of days, but it's still been like in the 50s and stuff. But I think it got a little warmer today, but a little chilly.
Most of my snow has been gone. So that's good news. Good. Most of it.
Most.
I still got 25% of 2 feet left.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of snow. What about the neck? Still kicking? Still bothering you?
Of course.
Just don't do nothing stupid. You'll be all right.
You know, if I do something stupid or not, it isn't going to make a difference. It's going to hurt
anyway. Out there. Yeah, but don't be out there shoveling snow.
Oh, heck no, no, no.
Don't do that.
Nope, not at all. So, busy, not so busy news week, but a couple of interesting stories this week. But we'll get into much more in a bit. Let's do our roll call.
Yeah.
So in at number one today was Relic Dominant, who said, Relic, have a great show. We'll catch it tomorrow.
Good to see you, man.
Lester Taylor said, I'll take second place.
Lester.
And Don says that Lester must have the stopwatch in his hand. Max Powers, Bigfoot Hunter, welcome back.
Max, welcome.
And let's see, Daniel Weeks. Hello, Daniel.
Daniel.
And we got Helton, a.k.a. Faster Man, Martin Man. Stilts. Ristol, good to see you. Tom Connolly, hello. Tom. Arthur Watch. Arthur. Gary Johnson Sr. as reported for duty. Jonathan Wilk. John Wilk, good to see you, my brother. Huh? And who else? We got Kaiju Ninja 1985. Hello. Yeah, I know he doesn't catch all our shows live, but he is a follower. So
good to see him in the live chat.
So here we are. Good Friday.
Yay.
Easter is Sunday.
Yes.
Eclipse is Monday.
Actually, that's wait a minute. No. I think that's like on the day after next Monday, I think.
Next Monday. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's going to be cool. It's going to be cool. A big wide area where a band runs across the United States. I think it said it was like 200 miles wide. We'll have a complete solar eclipse. And that's really, that's something you don't get very often.
It's probably going to be cloudy here.
Well,
probably.
Yeah. Well, when it gets dark, you'll know it's happening.
Right. <I can't. laughs> You're like,
that's pretty cool though. You know, it is kind of creepy to witness a solar eclipse too, because that makes you think about what did the ancient peoples think when this thing's happened. They're like, oh my God, you know,
right?
Panic, mass panic.
The sun is dying.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh, what was it? There was a movie. was that movie? It's about the Mayans or that.
Oh, yeah.
Aztecs. I can't remember.
Jonathan would call it, Jesus would call it Bad Friday.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, true, true. I wouldn't necessarily call it a good day. I'm okay now, but last week I was in rough shape.
But, you know, everybody, you know, enjoy your holiday. And if you don't celebrate the Christian religion of Easter or, you know, Good Friday and the rising and all that, that's fine, too. Just, you know, appreciate the time off.
Yep. You know, rough week last week. I went to see my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Doc, every morning I get up, I look in the mirror, I turn around, and I throw up. What's the matter with me? He says, I don't know, but your eyesight's perfect.
<Ba-dum-bum>. You got to add one of those drum rolls into the sound box.
I do.
Oh, Kaiju Ninja got it. That movie was Apocalypto. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Apocalyptico, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That was a very cool show. It had that solar eclipse, and then the sun came back. Apocalypto. A good movie. But that's been several years ago. It was a good movie, though. I enjoyed it.
So I am going to reach out to a director, relatively probably the most famous director we will have had on this show. We've had a bunch. We had a couple of actors. Remember we had that one Bigfoot movie that was going really well till the very end.
Yeah.
And then didn't we have the people with paper dolls on many years?
Paper dolls, yeah. I think they did change the name of that movie to something else now, but yeah. We had the actors and directors of Paper Dolls. That was good.
So, all right. Well, shall we get to our first news story of the night? What do you think?
Oh, sure. What we got?
All right. So, coming in for the first news story of the night. Here it is. So this is an update to a story we did a couple of weeks. Last week, I think we talked about, reported in the Chronicle of the three folks on the mountain, on the bikes. And they had seen a 10-foot. So there was a follow-up story. And it says, high school cross-country runner mistaken for Bigfoot. So, the quote from the, it moves so fluently with little arm movement, unlike a human being running or a passing motor cyclist, said it was easily 10 feet tall. Recently, the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization investigated a sighting of the eponymous.
What a word. Wow. Who uses that? I don't.
You know, let me stop there for a second. You ain't going to get a friggin' Pulitzer for this article.
Right, exactly.
Talk to the people like they're the people, not like you're some existential, extra-verbiaged individual.
Yeah.
Just talk like a human being.
The Jacko article, you know, that was written like in the 1800s.
But that's the way they talked in the 1800s. That's where they wrote. But every once in a while, you know, anyway, I'm just going to move on. Near the ground, the ground mound in Washington State. The ground mound.
Oh, yes.
We used to have a restaurant called the ground mound up here. Just curious. The ground mound.
Very cool.
Sighting by a group of motorcyclists passing through South Thurston County involves spotting a figure running on a ridge a half a mile ahead of them. According to the report given to the BFRO, it was very large in human shape. It was one color, tan brown, moving across very rugged terrain, making a beeline for the tree. The group watched the figure run for 30 seconds before it left their vision. It moved so fluently with little arm movement, unlike a human being, the motorcyclist said. It was easily 10 feet tall for us to be able to see it from them, able to see it from so far away. After the story of the biped sighting was reported in the Chronicle and shared thousands of times via social media, the paper received an email from a Rochester and that's for a Rochester, Washington high school student. Gunner Morgan, a cross-country runner, self-identified himself as the creature. That Sasquatch running was me, Morgan said in an email to the paper. In the email, Morgan, who was not 10 feet tall, explained his case of mistaken identity. My cousin and I are adept cross-country runners and live in the area and run often in that exact wilderness area. The reason we appeared larger than usual is because we were running side by side and we run extremely fluid compared to most people. Morgan's Garmin GPS watch provided data that showed he and his cousin were running along the same time.
He was too busy trying to work on his fancy words that he forgot to work on his sentence structure.
Yeah, he wrote, we're running along the same ride at the same time the sighting occurred. We were running fast and headed for a tree line. Morgan said, I can pinpoint exactly where the motorcyclist must have spotted us, where we must have been. I stand 6 foot one from a distance. We could be mistaken for a larger creature. Yeah. While Washington State tops the nation in what BFR deems credible Bigfoot sightings with 708, Morgan himself says that he has never seen they got to throw in the mythical creature while running in the area, but loves the attention it has brought. And he goes, I think this story is all very funny. Well, so,
hats off to Gunner Morgan for stepping forward and saying, no. Guys, right. That wasn't a Sasquatch. That was us.
Right. And the fact that his GPS watch backed up the whole story, huge too.
Oh, wow. Walt, I was off looking at an article. Look at here, Walter Kroll. Walter.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Walter.
Thank you so much.
So there we have it. There we have that. Now we have three.
Mystery solved. That one. Yeah. But really, how could somebody mistake a running guy for somebody that's 10 feet tall? But well, then he said he was running with his companion.
And you got to understand.
Right.
You got to understand they had observed this from 200 yards away.
Right. That's a pretty good distance. Yeah.
And remember, I had said that in the first thing. That is a pretty good distance.
Yeah.
So if one is running and another one is running up, let's say the path they're running is not the same. Yeah. And maybe cousin was here and he was on the hill and he's 6 foot one.
Right.
And like I say, how can you tell,
Well, if you're looking the distance of one football field, that's a lot. 100 yards is a lot, and it's more than you'd really think. But when you stack another one on there, that is a long distance to see something moving to try to identify. There's just
right. Really, well, the other thing too is you got to understand that at 200 yards, how accurately are you going to deem somebody's height?
Oh, no way! No way! You have no idea.
Right.
The only chance you got is if you can see them standing next to something that you can go back and measure later.
That was a pure ballpark guess. Oh, it was 10 feet tall, from them. Yeah. And once they start saying things like 10 foot tall, that's when flags go up. Because 10 feet is pretty big. And that would be pretty friggin' obvious if something 10 foot tall was walking around, let alone 8 foot.
Yeah,
8 foot's a big step. But 10 foot, that thing would have a foot, massively,
Right.
I can understand them misidentifying. I mean, think about 200 yards away, and if you want to test it, just measure out 200 yards, and put something there and walk out 200 yards and see what it looks like to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now,
I'm a firm believer that there are some big old boys out there, but if you were to see one, I'm pretty sure that it would be ingrained in your memory.
Now, John Wilk makes a great point, that eyewitnesses are always overestimating, and there's a good reason why. because when you get over the 7 foot level, when you start going 7 foot, even maybe the 8 foot level, but when you start getting over the 8 foot level, say, your accuracy starts to drop big time because now you're looking at an angle like this.
Yeah.
And when you start looking up at something, I mean, I can't stress how big our parents looked when we were like little kids,
right?
Or how big our grandparents looked when we were little kids. We still think, oh, wow, these people are huge. They're very tall. And then you find out that your father's 5'10", you know, or you find, you know, well, so.
That one of the things, too, I think about some of the witnesses do this. Now, I'm not saying it's everybody, but some of the witnesses that are maybe adding in some a little additional facts to their what they actually saw, they might want to make sure that their version is above human range, you know, so people wouldn't question them that, oh, that's probably human.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you got to look at it from their aspect, too, is that it is entirely possible that the runners were at a slight height advantage over them because of grading, right? So to them, they may have been 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you were to take a straight level and put it in the ground, perhaps they were like, maybe the ground was 3 feet higher at the point they were running than where they were at that. So that would make very easily them to say, well, it's got to be 10 feet tall. Although a slight grade may look like, you know, it's level, it may not be. And that's another big thing, too, is the angle they were looking at it.
If they're in sync running and one of them is like up the bank from the other one and they're right side by side, it kind of looked like one individual. You know, you could see where that might fool them. I'm just glad that it's all sorted out, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, very, very interesting story. And it has a lot to do with perception. The mind can perceive things very strangely at times. And especially don't forget they're on a motorcycle riding too. So you have that stressor and that movement, combined with the movement of the two figures. No surprise that it got overestimated at all. Usually where you get more accurate estimates, like talking to Brian Goslin, you know, he was 20 feet from his subject.
Right.
And he was able to say, and he's a trained observer to boot. And he says, well, it was at least 7 feet tall and he didn't want to estimate any more. And you know, that it is what it is. And then you have other people like mine. When I had my sighting, we measured it and it was definitely 7 foot, 6-8 foot tall, you know, estimate. I mean, it could have been 7'8", it could have been 7'10", it could have been 8 foot. But the best we could estimate it was about that height. And of course, I was only 150 feet away at max. So I look at that and it can be very tricky at further distances. I mean, if something was down the road, you know, 100 yards, I don't think I'd be able to estimate how tall anything was to anything exact.
No. You get to be a lot closer. Yeah. That's why I would always suggest if you're out in the woods and you're out and about and you accidentally get struck by lightning to have this sighting, okay, you win the lottery and you see a Bigfoot, look at the tree. It's going to be standing next to a tree somewhere. Look at the tree. Look for features on the tree.
Right.
Look for the limb.
But do that afterwards before you leave the area, because you know, Chris, you finished my book and you know what I'm saying about, do you think, you know, getting a height comparison when you're seeing something that's not supposed to exist in your mind? Right. And the other thing too, is we have to look at the bike riders or the motorcycle riders, whatever you want to call it. If you think about it, that word, the term Bigfoot, just looking at the whole psychology of things.
Yeah.
If somebody was that far away and they had seen it, right? What made them go to Bigfoot unless they really know about Bigfoot? So, like I say, any good interview, we would know whether or not they had an interest in Bigfoot before this sighting. Oh, yeah, I know about Bigfoot. Well, do you believe in it? Did you believe in Bigfoot at the time? Oh, yeah, I did. All right. So it all starts to make sense that, their mind could, you know, even by pareidolia, seeing that subject off at a distance, even though it's with your lifetime eyes, pareidolia can happen.
Yes.
While you're, you know, there yourself. So.
Jeff Schrader. Hey, Jeff. Jeff says, the Squatch eye and my wife saw was about 50 feet away, and we could both clearly see that it was a female.
Yeah, and that's no surprise. 50 feet is not really that great of a distance. Yeah. You know, it's what?
Not bad.
Maybe about, 20 yards is 60 feet. So it's less than 20 yards away, pretty much.
Yes.
It's like 15 yards is 45. So it's about maybe about 17 yards.
Yeah. Not much.
Yeah. Not much at all.
That's a good distance. If you can get from 25 yards or closer, wow. All
right, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Yep. Okay, story number two.
Close out the story.
Okay. Story number two is about a phone call that occurred to the Stevens County Sheriff's Office in Eastern Washington State. And they received an interesting phone call from a man looking to hunt for Sasquatch. According to a Facebook post by the Sheriff's Office, the caller told staff that he would be traveling to the area in mid-April and wanted to hunt in the Big Meadow Lake area in Northeast Washington. Sheriff's Office staff initially tried to refer the man to the Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife, but he told them they had referred him to the Sheriff's Office. The man's concern was how to stay legal while hunting again. Here we go with that word, the mythical beast. In the Big Meadow Lake area, because Washington State regulations regarding Sasquatch hunts were unclear. The caller asked Sheriff's Office whether shooting a Sasquatch was illegal in Stevens County and whether a regular hunting license was enough to keep his Sasquatch hunt above board legally. He also said he would not hunt or shoot a female Sasquatch. Stevens County Sheriff's Patrol chief called the man to explain that Meadow Lake is in nearby Penn or Real County Sheriff's jurisdiction, and that there is no Sasquatch in Stevens County. We know this because one of our deputies would have accidentally hit him with one of our patrol cars by now.
You've got the better article. I've got the other one up. You've got the better article.
Now, that's awesome. That is... that is just a real cute way. Like, he's not discounting the Sasquatch exists, but we don't have him in the county because one of our deputies would have surely by now hit him with a car, which means they probably have had a ton of bears and other critters hitting that.
Bears and deer,
That was a good inside joke that everybody got.
I love that, man.
We know this because one of our deputies would have actually hit one of them by patrol that's car rich. By now.
Yeah, that's rich.
Oh, by the way, did you hear about I'm trying to think.
I need a soundboard thing on this side too.
Did you know that somebody had broken into I think it was the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office in New York.
Hmm.
And they stole the sheriff. They stole the toilet out of the bathroom. Yeah. Do you know what, Chris? The cops can't solve the mystery. You know why? They have nothing to go on. You can boo me now. You can boo me now.
That's pretty good.
All right. Again, here we go. According to You know, again, the quote about that, it's almost like everybody's gathering all these stories in the same. According to the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, Washington is the top state for Sasquatch sightings. They have 708 credible sightings, according to the organization. A 1992 resolution established Whatcom County as a Sasquatch protection and refuge area. In 1969, Skamania County passed a law forbidding the harming of a Sasquatch. Doing so would result in a $1,000 fine and a year in jail. The county later changed the law to state that any premeditated, willful, and wanton slaying of any such creature shall be deemed a felony, punishable by fine not to exceed $10,000 or imprisonment in the county jail for a period not to exceed 5 years. It is unclear if Stephen County has such an ordinance or a law. That is unreal.
Wow, that's a lot. 5 years, you know.
Actually upgraded it to a felony.
Yeah. Yeah.
That ain't no joke.
That's serious. Yeah, yeah. You lose your right to have firearms and stuff. And in some cases, right to vote, all that stuff.
Yeah, that is definitely I think we lost a couple of listeners tonight on that joke.
Oh. Well, you know, the $10,000 fine, you know, that's doable if you have a body, you know, but 5 years, I would be, you know, knock on wood, I'll be happy to be here 5 years from now.
And in most places, you know, it goes to say, like, Washington State in New York, the village of Whitehall, not the town of Whitehall, mind you, the village. Like in my research area, I'm not technically even in the town of Whitehall. Mm-hmm. So none of those protection laws apply where I'm at. Not that I would go out and harm.
Right.
I rarely go out even with firearms.
Isn't there some sort of thing on the books to where if your life is endangered, you have a right to, you know, preserve your life, to protect your life?
Well, it's funny. Because when I did America's Book of Secrets, I got interviewed about the law. So I did a lot of research on laws. Mm-hmm. And if there is no law protecting something, such as a Sasquatch, for example, right. You know, in Whatcom County, Skamania County, the village of Whitehall, that's where there are specific laws for the Sasquatch. So this general statement does not apply to it, but if an animal is not in the existence, is not considered an animal or even a human per se.
Right.
So I know there's people, well, you know, Bigfoot's a human. Well, hang on, let's cool your jets. Let's just, it hasn't been classified yet, a human or animal or anything else. The fact is that if you kill something that's not on the books, the first one's a freebie.
Yeah, it can't be.
Right. There's nothing they can do. There's no law prohibiting you of taking that particular animal, whether you're in danger of your life, whether it's a nuisance, or you're just out there saying, oh, that looks cool. Bang.
Right.
That is, you know, that's the way the laws are written. And that's where the big fallacy in the whole MK Davis theory goes is, well, they buried him because they didn't want to get arrested in trouble with the government. You wouldn't, because that law applies in California. It applies anywhere in the United States. If it's not on the books, it's not illegal to take one down.
But, you know, well, I think we could probably agree that it's illegal to take down a human being, you know, that's of course, we've got that on the books. That's a law. That's illegal. But there are certain situations to where if that human being was trying to rip you limb from limb, I think you would be justified in protecting yourself. You know?
Right. Right.
Exactly. There's always that argument. And, you know, I wouldn't, you know, recommend anybody go out hunting for them, but if you're standing face to face with one and he's going to rip your limb from limb, I mean, I would always choose to go home rather than be ripped from limb to limb.
Max asked the question. I noticed that a large area around the Whitehall incident was purchased by the Nature Conservatory. I've noticed that in several areas. Anything to that? Nope. not at all. Because nature conservatories are actually privately owned. They're not owned by the government. So there is some conservancy over on the Vermont side, across from the Pulteney River. And there's a New York conservatory that bought some property on the opposite side of that. But no, they're not government entities. And actually, you're not restricted from going into them. You know, you won't see any, you know, you're very high. I've seen one county sheriff down in research area number two. And that's in Vermont. And I have seen no New York representatives on the New York side. And like I said, in my research area, I've seen one forest ranger back when we were shooting the National Geographic special. And that's because they had called them to ask them it was okay. And they had showed up preemptively just to introduce themselves. Have a good night, John. But when the COVID hit, we went up to take a day routing out to the area because, you know, what else are you going to do? And it was so crowded up there. I not only saw one park ranger, I saw two state forest rangers.
Wow.
And that was the only other time. And it was just so crazy. It was so packed up there. I like turned around and left. And it definitely shifted the dynamic for several years in that area.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't believe they like crowds.
No. But getting back on what I'm saying is that, you know, but then again, there's other laws too that may prohibit you from hunting a Sasquatch. For example, if you take a firearm into the woods, a lot of times, especially in New York State, you may get questioned, what are you doing with the firearm in state forest, you know, when it's not hunting season. And it's not uncommon for people to turn around and ask or answer, you know, hey, I'm taking it for protection or whatever, but you know, they listen and they'll follow you and they'll listen for those gunshots.
Right. Of course. As well, they should. Yeah. I have a tinfoil hat I keep handy for some theories. And I think sometimes I'll put the tinfoil hat on. And I've noticed that in some areas here in Kentucky that were where there had been lots of Bigfoot sightings, the universities would come in and start buying that property and set up a study area for wildlife.
But that's not uncommon.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's not uncommon for, so, I mean, we can sit there and relay to us all the conspiracy theories, but without receipts to it, you know, as to why they're doing it, really, I'm not a leg to stand on. And it's like, again, getting back to that whole massacre theory, you know, had that had occurred, you know, they wouldn't have gotten in trouble.
Right.
You know, and again, I've always said that you got to look at alleged post-offense behavior. This sound like guilty men after the filming of Patty? No, not at all. And their post-offense behaviors are definitely contradictory to any real life post-offense behavior had a crime occurred.
Right.
And that's why the story makes no sense. You know, aside from believing you see a red puddle of blood. And let's develop the story around it.
Thanks.
And that's all there is to this conjecture. This is a red puddle of blood. That means there was Bigfoot killed, probably a lot of them. And, you know, that means that this must have all happened, but there's no receipts for any of it. Zip. Yeah.
And they did all this to cover up a crime that wasn't a crime.
And I'm telling you, you know, MK in his visits to the site, did he ever bring a metal detector? Because obviously, we're knocking down all those Bigfoot, there would have been shell casings.
Sure.
Right.
Well, even if they picked them up, there would have been bullets in the bodies.
No, I'll tell you what he did do was he took some of the dirt and put it in a bucket and then would turn around and sell little vials of it at shows for $5. That's what he did. The only
client
stuff he did. So, yeah. Worked
from Bluff Creek.
Yep. Absolutely. Hey,
that sounds like a pretty good little thing. Yeah, maybe we should go up there with get us a truckload of dirt and put it in piles.
So, in
No.
If there's no ordinance, no. There's no ordinance put in place in killing a Bigfoot and someone kills one. Is there still a chance they could be charged with murder? No. Because let's say they realize, okay, it's a homo snuffleupagus. Yeah, it's a homo snuffleupagus. It's kind of like us. It's still not homicide. Because homicide is defined as killing of a human being, not killing anything else. And even if they turned around, you know, the next day and said, hey, immediate law, you can't kill these things. It's illegal to kill these things. You can't go back and charge somebody for what happened yesterday.
Right.
It wasn't a crime at the time it occurred. It's not a crime. So that's why.
Homo snuffleupagus. Did that come from the H.A. Miller doc?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually. And if people are wondering, we did a members only seminar on the H.A. Yes. Miller doc, and we covered briefly some of the scientific terms in that, and the mistakes that were made there.
A lot of fun with that one.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot of members were there for this trip. It's great to see you guys there. That's great. Right. Steve didn't get to see you, but I did. Wow.
You know, for example, and I'll give you a very decent example. You know, Billy Bob gets pulled over at age in 1976, gets pulled over, by some police. He was in the passenger seat, or he gets stopped on the street by police, and they found out that Billy Bob is 19 years old and he was drinking, right, in the state of New York. Well, in 1976, the drinking age in New York was 18, right? I forget what year, let's say 1986 or whatever, they changed the drinking age to 21. Mm-hmm. That if that was true, then they could go back and charge Billy Bob for underage drinking back in 1976. They can't do that. You can't go back and charge somebody with, even if it was yesterday, it wasn't a law. So therefore no crime was committed. A crime is by definition is breaking of the law. So if the law wasn't on statute at the time it occurred, it's not breaking the law. Plain and simple.
Well, that was something that I respected about my old base commander. Because at that time in the mid 80s, you know, of course, the legal age for alcohol was 21. But he understood that his Air Force guys, even if they signed up at 18, if they were old enough to die for their country, they were old enough to have a beer. And he allowed them to have at the Airman's Club and the Officers Club, whatever, they could have a beer. So that was pretty cool. And I agree the same way. You're old enough to die for your country. You're old enough to drink a beer. You know, of course, I don't like beer.
Okay, so let me. Jeff made a comment. Jeff Strader made a comment. Not all Sasquatch Southern have monster feet. 15 to 17 is the average. Well, I got news for you. If you get a foot that's 20 inches, it's pretty large by anybody's standard. Because the film, the size of the prints at Bluff Creek were between 14 and a half and 15 inches long.
Right.
Right. The prints that I recovered for the Ford and cast were like 14 and a half inches long. Right. And that's probably the easiest way to determine a hoax if somebody's coming off and saying, oh, I got these 24-inch prints. I got these 27-inch prints. It's not called Bigfoot because of the length. It's called Bigfoot because of the width. And that's what hoaxers don't seem to align themselves or realize too much.
But I viewed some tracks online that were like hourglass shape too. I couldn't put it together.
Hourglass shape? Nope.
Mm-hmm. That's why.
Because that would be indicative that it's something with an arch, or it was just completely made up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You got to understand the good prints that have been cast are they're anatomically functional. Right. You know, when I see the you see these footprints that some people come up and the toes are like at this angle. Here's the foot. Looks like almost like a triangle.
Right.
Like that's not anatomically correct. That foot would fail. Right. So hard that would fail so much. Now, yeah,
Dr. Meltram covered that really good on when we had him on the show during the Super Bowl. That was a very good discussion. Wow, good one.
No, Jeff. Actually, he's not called Bigfoot because they interviewed morons. That's not true at all. The term Bigfoot was not coined by somebody who got a Bigfoot cast. That was a term used for a headline to make a catchy headline.
Yeah.
The name of the reporter escapes me, but I know it's out there. And he said it's a new type of Sasquatch. It's called Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Well, see, also, originally, they had...
Weird. No, I'm not in. It's a big footprint. Yeah, if you want to send me a big footprint, that's fine. But I don't want to see.
But during the original story, the guys at the construction area had been trying to figure out what it was, and they thought it might be an Indian, a big Indian living in the hills there that hadn't come out yet.
So, Max Powers is putting there 8 foot equals 16 inches.
Yeah. You know,
well, hold on. Let's stop a second. What's the scientific basis for that? I'm just saying, we can't talk in absolutes. In absolutes because we don't know their foot. For example, I've gotten reports of a 7 foot Bigfoot. An 8 foot Bigfoot, and I've come up with tracks that are 15 inches, 14 and a half inches, right? So it could be different because of the width. We can't necessarily take our footprint and compare it, you know, height to, because let's face it, I know plenty of people that are my height that have size 8 feet, right? I'm 5'10". I take a size 10, right? And I know people that are 5'10" and take a size 8, take a size 9, right? Conversely, I know people that are 5'10" that take a size 11. So feet can be dimorphic, regardless of, it's not like a straight line. So I would have to say, I wouldn't try to even compare that necessarily unless you take documented sightings with castings, because Patty was 7 foot. I think they thought it was like 7'4", so between 7'2" and 7'4", and her footprint was 14 and a half inches long. So it's hard to say. I mean, that's just one example, but if we got more examples where a creature is sighted with the trackway or with some tracks, then we can start putting that together to kind of get a roundabout, but it's still ballpark because you never can really ultimately determine.
But you know, you can, it is kind of proportional too, because you can figure a track that's 12, 13 inches long and maybe, you know, 6 inches wide. If you get one that's 18 inches long and 9 inches wide at the heel, well, you can proportionally say that track came from a larger individual. But, I did have a mathematical formula for doing that that I rigged up, but there's no, there's nothing to back it up because we don't have enough evidence to test it. But I think there's something to that. You could get in the ballpark of determining what height, but not the exact height. So when Max said ish, I think he's right. I agree with him.
Now I'm looking at Jeff's pictures, and I have some thoughts on them, but I'll go off air on those thoughts.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
I kind of lost my train of thought here. I was on.
Well, Jeff said that the guy on the Close Encounters of the Third Kind said he came across a big footprint that had 36 inches heel to toe. I remember that. I remember him saying that.
Yeah.
Wow, that would have been a monster, wouldn't it? Yeah.
That's a 3-foot.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
In actuality, the types of soil, the type of substrate wouldn't really affect necessarily. Now, there is one substrate that will affect, basically heel width, toe length, or heel toe length, and that's snow. Sand would have its own properties too, because sand tends not to be malleable. In order to put your foot in sand, take it off, and
some falls back in. The
some hole. Falls yeah. back in and doesn't really conform necessarily to what that necessarily is. Now, not for nothing. Probably dirt is probably the best of all of them. Mud is kind of unreliable at times. So there is definitely now here's a great idea is that if you can put some transparent phosphorus type of substance that you can see under blue light in an area where an air creature would step, right? You can shine that area, and where you see it missing, then you would say, oh, look, right? Something's took a step there. You get an accurate representation of their print. As it walks away, you can follow it, because it would leave bits and pieces of that luminescence as it walks away. So there's an idea to throw out there just for fun. I'm trying to think what else is there to say? Is that, I wasn't prepared to do it like a track class tonight, but sometimes it comes up. And what I have to say is, when looking at a track, you know, the big things to look at is, number one, is it functional? Number one, does it have a heel, or does it have an arch? Or is the heel equal to the toes? In other words, if the heel is here, the toes shouldn't be over here. The foot should not bend.
Right.
You know how many times I've seen people come up with their Bigfoot tracks, and here's the toes going this way, and the heel is going this way.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-uh, that's not a track.
Yeah. And, you know, Dr. Meldrum, he pointed out different things. I had some questions about it because about some of the things that I had seen, you know, online and elsewhere. And depending on what the creature is doing at the time that it made that track could look a whole lot different. But they're not going to be bendy like a rainbow. No.
Now I see Helton said, now if the ones the Indian Army found, are we talking about, you know, the Indian, the Eastern Indians over there in, you know, India?
Oh, I remember that. Those photos they showed like up on the Himalayas or something. There was in that mountain range.
Was it snow? Was there snow on the ground?
Yeah, those were snow tracks. Yeah.
Right. So bingo, there you have it. Like I said, if you look at my old blog, and I may have to revive those pictures. Mm-hmm. I had my ex-landlord when I step into the snow with his boot, and I let that melt for a couple of days, and I took a picture of it. And it looked like a Bigfoot track. But it looked really big. It was probably like 18, 19, 20 inches long by about, you know, 6 inches wide, and it looked like a monster. So I don't trust any tracks in the snow unless they are fresh.
Yeah.
If you start seeing that, like a snow track is sharp, just like stepping in mud, right? But if you start to see this type of track where the snow banks are like this, you know, on the edges where they're like concave and they kind of like spread out evenly to an angle. If it's not a 90 degree angle, the track ain't worth nothing. Track is not worth that.
Here's one for you, Steve. What's the tallest do you think a Bigfoot could grow to?
Maybe a little, a few inches over 8 foot at most.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say that they could probably grow up to 12 feet. But 11 would probably be pushing it.
Well, I think what happens is when you get something into that type of size, mm-hmm. now you're talking about something that would leave sign that would stick out to everybody because it's so damn big.
Wow.
Right. Like a bear, like a big grizzly bear will leave massive amounts of sign because they are larger than life to the rest of the bears. The other thing too, is the caloric intake of something that is that tall. Right. And I think if you get that tall, then it becomes counterproductive to a spine. Yeah. Because now that spine is getting bent to where it's probably easier for that to be a quadruped. Like a lot of our larger animals are quadrupeds for a reason, because they were in the prehistoric times, in the ice age times, they were much larger. Right?
Right. Yeah, so but you can't compare it to the human scale though, because our muscular structure supports our skeleton, and theirs would be much larger. So they much larger skeleton, and plus they would have much larger muscles, so they could support a bigger form than what the human body could.
Possibly. I mean, possibly. I think that 11 foot is taller than my ceiling in my room, my office.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm like, no, they wouldn't be that tall. They may come up to the very top. Well, that's what I'm saying. And I got maybe 9 feet here, 10 feet.
Yeah, usually a normal ceiling in a house is either 7.5 or 8 feet tall.
Right.
And so, the old houses, they would have 9 feet tall ceilings, and some of them 10 feet tall ceilings.
Right.
If you're in a house that has a 12 foot ceiling, that's a whopper. That's right. The old Victorian style architecture. That's a whopper. But yeah, you're right. I don't think, 8 feet is big. 8 feet is big. But I tend to believe they can get bigger. I don't know how often that would happen, though. See, could that be a regular occurrence or no?
I think that would be kind of like us. What's our average height? 6 feet? 6 feet one? 6 foot. Well, they used to say average height is about 5'10".
Yeah, we've grown. Yeah. I mean, the Americans have gotten taller over the years.
But we have people out there. We have males, you know, Dustin Hoffman. Let's look at the list. Dustin Hoffman, Tom Cruise are both 5'7". Ben Stiller is 5'6". Kevin Hart is 5'2". Mm-hmm. The comedian Kevin Hart. Chris Rock used to be 6 foot, but after the slap, he's down to 5'10". Yeah. Okay. All right. All right, Coles. What was with that joke there? All right.
Billy apes are 6 feet. Ah, I didn't know they were that big, Jeff. I don't think they're that big, are they?
No.
That's pretty long. Maybe laid out on a table, you know, measured from the stretching them out. Maybe. I don't know.
Nope. According to buzzonearth.com, Billy apes are usually from 5 to 5.5 feet tall.
So, yeah, they could be six. You know, you could have a tall individual there. The basketball playing Billy Gates.
You know what annoys me about this article? They said they resemble the chimpanzee and their footprints are 28 to 34 centimeters long. Wait a minute. You just said 5 to 5.5 feet. Why can't you keep the measurements of the foot in inches, for God's sakes? Can we keep it in one or the other? So they're about 5 to 5.5 feet, which I've seen some trail cam photos of Billy Apes, and that seems about right. Yeah. No, the juvenis might be that high. I know we're talking about Bigfoot.
I tend to think that the juvenile Bigfoots start out just like we do, small infant size creatures, and they grow as age as mature. So you're going to see all heights. You know, you're going to see some 3 foot tall, 4 foot tall.
So on up. So their footprints are about 11 inches long. The Billy Ape. Mm-hmm. Well, geez, a Sasquatch, we have 14 feet. You see, that's why the footprint versus height doesn't always kind of match up, because think about if you had an 8 foot Billy Ape comparing it to the height of their average height and their average foot size, you know, that means a Billy Ape could, a 7 foot Billy Ape would probably have like a 25 inch track. So you got to,
I think there's something to it. I think
let's answer this question. I was wondering if juvia prints might look more human until they reach a certain height. No. As a matter of fact, all Sasquatch prints look human because they lack that, lock the opposing toe, right? Yeah. So they all look similar to humans, but even a juvenile Sasquatch print, as I've seen one that was 9 inches long, and that was the day after my juvenile sighting, and it was about 5 foot tall, maybe a little taller. It was really quick when I saw it. But if you look at a juvenile Sasquatch print, they have all the characteristics of a big Sasquatch print, but they're just tinier. And because their little toes are a little more bulbous, it may give it a little more of a human effect, but they still lack an arch. Yes. And that is huge in any Sasquatch print. You see a little print on a sand where there's an arch, that's a little kid being shoeless. Right.
Yeah. The small Sasquatch prints will be flat like the large Sasquatch prints.
Now, I know this was meant as a joke, but I'm going to take this one last question before we go. How do we know it wasn't a midget Squatch? How do you know it wasn't a midget Squatch? Because in dwarfism, right, the appendages are what's abnormally shortened, mm-hmm. right? The thoracic area is what's abnormally shortened. The head is not. So if you ever look, they don't look exactly like, you know, when you look at little people, they do not exactly, their physicality does not look like ours, and that's because dwarfism is a chromosomal issue, and obviously I saw a juvenile which had very how should I say proportional arms and legs to the rest of the creature. Right, the thoracic region was proportional to the rest of it, so everything was within proportion. But it's a good question, actually. Yeah. Yeah. You know, how do we know it's not that? And that's, you know, as funny as may adjust, but that's a good question. And that's how we determine that, is that when I saw it, it had nothing that would exhibit that there was a dwarfism chromosomal issue going on. Not saying there might not be a Sasquatch out there that has that, just like there may be a Sasquatch that does grow to 9 or 10 feet, just like we have some people that grow to 7.5, 8 foot tall. So, well,
the pancake eater video would be a good argument for dwarfism.
Oh, good Lord. It's a big head on it. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. It is 10 o'clock. We're going to get out of here. Again, thank you, Walter, for the gifting out 5 more memberships. Appreciate it. But you see, this is some great, great conversation we have after after the news, and it always leads into would always lead into some good conversation. And that's why we do the news, because the news leads us to this conversation that we can have with you guys, our audience. And it's a little something different than we do on Sunday nights, where usually we have a guest. The focus is on the guest. Here we focus on stories and other types of
open discussion. I love it. Yep.
So, folks, for those who are celebrating, have a happy Easter. And, you know, we will be back here in 1 week live. We're going to be cutting some videos during the week, of course. And thank you, Walter. Yep. Make sure on the way out, y'all hit that thumbs up button for us. That would be much appreciated. If you're not a member and you feel so far inclined and you like our content, consider becoming a member, because we're doing seminars every, hello, Iron Dogger. There you are. Iron Dogger was lurking.
Yeah. I can see you.
But, you know, if you haven't subscribed, at the very least, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, sub out and hit that thumbs up on the way out, folks. We love you guys. You're the greatest audience we have. On behalf of Chris and me, y'all have a great Easter, and we'll see you all here next Friday night. Don't ask me the date, but we'll see you in 1 week from today live on the Bigfoot News episode 12. And keep an eye out this week for video drops, because we do have our story of the week coming out this Thursday again. And same to you, Jeff. And we'll catch you all real soon. Here we go.